Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Searching for a voice to guide it through this modern day wilderness of popular culture, politics, business, and sports. In these troubled times, we turn to one man. That man is Bill Vickery. Born with rural American values, possessed with superhuman brain capacity, buttery smooth charm, razor sharp wit, chiseled good looks. He's chosen to use his superpowers for the good of all mankind. So this Sunday, the nation turns to this man for answers and direction. To Bill Vickery and the Sunday Buzz.
I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshine enough to spread. It's just like the fella said. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head?
Well, we appreciate you listening to the Sunday Buzz podcast. I'm Todd Pierce, producer of the program. If you heard the program as it originally aired on Sunday, you know we had some technical issues that made the show start off not so great. So I've cleaned it up a little bit for the podcast. You're welcome. And I didn't want you to sit through a roughly 5-10 minute, however long the pause was at the beginning where we were off the air. I just didn't want you to sit through that. So I've cleaned everything up. We're going to pick the program up right where Bill began. And we thank you again for listening to the Sunday Buzz podcast.
Well, that was the best 17 minutes of radio I think that I've ever done. Poor Todd running around here trying to organize everything. It's the way things go sometimes. Sometimes you have a guest, sometimes you're just not on the air. And again, many thanks to so many of you who were kind enough to tweet at me or text me to tell me, you've never sounded better. Keep it up. My God, you sound as smart as ever. When, of course, we were off the air. So we missed what no doubt was an eloquent delay of game. That's a good one. Delay of game on the offense. You missed my rant about Xi Jinping versus Joe Biden, but probably for the best. Let's be honest. It was subpar radio because I didn't know if we were on or not, you know? It's like when you see these quarterbacks now cover their ear holes. Like, I can't. What was that play again? That's what I'm doing here. What a drop-dead gorgeous Sunday morning in Little Rock, Arkansas. I did note that on Thursday of this week, my favorite time of the year, because on Thursday, I saw an NBA basketball game, an NFL football game, a Major League Baseball game, and I watched whatever the time period that is called in hockey, a chucker? The blue line? Icing? I don't know, but one of the rare instances where you can see consequential stuff that they keep score over in all the sports in America. Don't give me soccer. Don't bring it. Mm-mm. No, not here. Not in this country. So, and that there's a little Christmas in the air, and Jimbo Fisher lost again. Hats off to my buddies in South Carolina. And, I mean, just the favorite you can get. Looks like we're going to get an Astros-Phillies World Series. I wish the Padres could come on. Because who knew that people who live in La Jolla, California can be so angry at a baseball game? I mean, that's a... It's like they imported a bunch of LSU fans to be Padre fans there at Petco Park in downtown San Diego. Giving people the double birds on TV nonetheless. We didn't talk enough last week about the poor old girl from Tennessee who did a jumping jack and came out of the top of her dress. That was all over. I mean, please stop sending me that meme. Somewhere in Hendersonville, Tennessee, there's a proud dad. That's what we send little Shelly to the university for, right there. Look at that. CBS, my friends. Yep. Todd, are you okay over there, man?
Yeah.
You
now that we've finally gotten everything squared away, I have no earthly idea what just happened.
You were Listen, you're not the first person to say that to me. She usually waits till the next day. Ew. Let's do this. Hang on. Now let me get my...
We're both out of sorts. Let's get our ducks in a row here now.
Hang on a minute. Let me get that back over there. Now let's let Ray LaMontagne get us out of here. Calm down. This is like the Cowboys playing the Eagles. I mean, bang, bang, bang. Andy Dalton, interception, interception. Done. I mean, now you got to just call a timeout. Everybody calm down.
Unless you're Kyler Murray chewing out Cliff Kingsbury. On the sideline.
I thought that was funny. I mean, it. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. So much of that's for show now. These guys know. They know the camera's on them. And if you're Murray and you've been under that kind of pressure, and let's be blunt, he hasn't played well, But he didn't fall asleep like poor Joe Biden. We'll play that clip for you. We've got we're going under the hood here for a review. And we'll get our ducks in a row and come back at you. Stay with us.
Times were tough. We made it through. We tasted the rough, so let's say smooth. All the time I was hurting you. Got to believe that I was hurting too. I was born to love. I was born.
Thank you for joining the Sunday Buzz. Here's your host, Bill Vickery.
Unbelievable.
Got to be a better way.
Fried Soul there with Meyer Hawthorne. Before I get to this Biden stuff, Todd, I like to think that I'm a fairly contemporary man. I'm a person who maybe up with the times, and I kind of live and let live type. I don't really want to, if somebody, if it makes you happy, good deal. I'm not into laying a heavy trip on a brother. To quote Starsky and Hutch, or Huggy Bear from Starsky and Hutch.
Right.
Yeah. If you know that, if you knew the original Antonio Vargas, then you and I are contemporaries. But I had something, or I ran across something this week, and it is now the, help me here. I don't know what Ligbjiquea plus is. It's spelled LGBTQIA+. Of course I know it. But somehow at Microsoft, a flag has been created that is some type of fit-causing conglomeration of colors that goes into a spiral graph. And it's intended to embrace what it claims as the 40 different flags of different genders. Now, I went to a public school in Van Buren, Arkansas. So, missed out on a lot. I had wonderful people who cared deeply, but not, you wouldn't classify it as a first-rate education, poor community, school, it was one of those things. That's the way it was, growing up in the 70s. So I looked up because 40 different genders? And I got a hard enough time understanding two. The other one just mystifies me all the time. I still don't know. In the words of the great Robert Evans, Hollywood icon, movie mogul, any man that claims to know the mind of a woman is a fool. So I can't get past the other one. How am I going to get through 7 letters and the plus sign? That's almost a third of the alphabet. You start at A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I got a pretty good idea about the B's, okay? I think I got that one down. I don't know what the I's are or the A's and the plus sign, but now I'm forced. Listen, I'm having a hard, I've just now... wrapped my head around SARS. I'm not even up to COVID yet. So let me read to you the list of the 40 different genders, and then the last one is a catch-all, which should be unfair,
LGBTQIA+.
There you go.
How did Iowa get in there?
Man, where did Iowa come from? That's a great point, Todd. How did Iowa get in that mix?
The caucuses are everywhere.
Right. You didn't know, buddy. Iowa pops up, man. It's an important state. And listen, like I said, man, hey, live and let live. I ain't trying to lay a heavy trip on a brother. But I don't know what abrosexual is. Abrosexual. That could have been a movie from like a character in The Mac or something like that, or one of those Shaft movies. Abrosexual. I don't know what Ace Flux is.
Abracadabra?
Ace Flux sounds like something that's wrong with your car. Oh, you got a problem with your Ace Flux right there, buddy. That's all. I can see that right now. You can hear that in the engine.
I say, sounds like something Geordi LaForge should fix on the Starship Enterprise.
Yes. Well, having any trouble with the Ace Flux. I don't know why. That was a horrific Cockney accent that applied to no Star Trek character whatsoever. Agender. Okay, I got with androgynous. Okay, boom. There's one I recognize. Again, bigender. Do they have cell gender? And then here's the other B that I recognize, you know, bisexual. Demi-fluid. Again, that sounds like something your car's low on. Hey, you're almost out of your demi-fluid. And you're going to need, you can get that at any Napa Auto Parts store.
And if they're out, you can go to the O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're going to need at least a quart of demi-fluid if you want that truck to run right, buddy. I'm just telling you that right now. Demi-gender, demi-girl. No demi-more.
That's a shame.
So this, I'm going to tell you, some of these seem made up to me. Jeez. Okay, so Aeroflux. One of these things I don't even think you can say on the radio. I'm not sure you can say this one on the radio, so I'm not going to say it. Ambia. Okay, never mind. Demi fluid, demi gender, demi girl, demi romantic. Now that sounds like a band. Put your hands together for Demi Romantic. Or is it, you know, it's opening for Demi Lovato, Demi Romantic.
Is that the band that's led by Randy Jackson?
Right, I don't, yeah, with an I. The gender neutral spelling.
Right.
There's one here that has some dashes in it, and I don't think you can put that. If you're going to be, because it's gay, MLM. Vin, what's an ML? I'm just catching up on all the. Then there's gender fluid, gender flux, gender questioning, gray sexual. Is that like an AARP thing?
Is that like gray shirting on a football team?
Am I, because of my hair, am I gray sexual? Do I know that? A Marvik, an omnisexual, a pangender, a pansexual, a polysexual, one's called a two-spirit. Something called a two-spirit, a progress pride, and then the last one is just unlabeled. Now, to me, that's not a real one, because unlabeled? Like, that's too, you can't do that.
That's pretty general.
Yeah, unlabeled. Come on.
Is that like government cheese or government milk?
I don't know. Exactly. Would the FDA weigh in on unlabeled? Is that a thing? Is that a... I don't know. Well, there we go. If you're at Microsoft, you've got a flag that I think you can't stare at it because it will blow your mind. It's like one of those... It's a cross between the Partridge Family bus and one of those Escher paintings, you know, where the hands painting the hand, or the staircases that go into one another. I don't know, man. We got to get somebody on here to explain these things to us. Because I don't know what unlabeled. I don't know what demigender or demigirl. And again, man, hey. Ever float your boat out there? But Ace Flux, I swear that's a thing on my car. I don't know what an Ace Flux is. And I'm not, but I can barely get through the LGBTQI, Iowa. I don't know. It's too many. And what's the plus mean? Did you throw that on there? Where's the question? You know what? To me, a question mark would be like, "What's the thing there?" Right? Isn't that
the plus must be for the unlabeled? Maybe.
Man, I don't know. Maybe we need to get somebody from Microsoft down here to explain. One, to look at the computers, I think maybe, but two.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm a. Like I said, I'd like to think of myself as a contemporary man, but as it turns out, I might just be the old Muppet on the porch, screaming at the kids to get out of his yard. Hey, out of my yard with your volleyballs. Throwing that soccer ball around and kicking it up on the house. We got to go over to old man Vickery's house. We threw the frisbee over there.
Wilson the volleyball accidentally went over in his Wilson? Yard.
I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, 40 genders, and I can't even get past the second one. Like, I got no clue, man. I am a man whose time has passed. It might be time just to end this. Yesterday, I had the great pleasure of running up to Hendricks College, my alma mater. And they always do a great job up there of hosting alumni and all of that. And it took me back in time because I had the opportunity to be with my dear friends, my close dear friends, who I talk about all the time on the show, Barry Ford and his wife Laura, who we've all known each other for 30 plus years, and then Dr. Hayden Franks, who you hear me talk about, and of course his wife Lynn couldn't make it because Little Lee Franks is in town, their daughter, who I've spoken about before. We run into Rob Emery, anyway, we all lived together up there. Lee Pittman was in the room with me, who's been on the show before. And we've all been close friends for three decades. And it just took me back, you know, you go to that's why people, the homecoming thing is so important, and people go back because it transports you to a time in your life when, you know, for me, lifelong friendships were founded and great times, and I have been blessed, not with great intellect or looks, but great friends. And so it was fun to be on that campus at the institution that really transformed my life and created some intellectual curiosity out of me by great professors and great students and administrative staff. And
it's a beautiful campus,
too. And it's a beautiful, beautiful campus, believe me. And we thought it was beautiful back then, and it's just drop-dead gorgeous now. And it was always a lot of fun to be back at Hendricks College, and can't say enough great things about it. Roby Brock, who, you know, I'd forgotten I was on Capitol View this morning with Roby, and we're in school together, you know. I mean, he was there. It was a wonderful day to be with wonderful friends that you've known for a long time. Can't say enough great things about Hendricks College. We'll let old Donnie Henley get us out of here with the boys of summer. Stick around, going to make fun of Joe Biden after this. Walking real slow, smiling at everyone. I can tell you my love for you will still be strong after the boys of summer.
Now, more of the Sunday Buzz with Bill Vickery.
It's existential, yet it's so accessible.
I'm talking about the good times. makes no difference whether you're young or old. All you got to do is get together and let the good time roll.
It must be one of those mornings because I'm having a little difficulty over here now. But my devices. I mentioned in the 17 minutes we were off the air that Xi Jinping solidified his power this week. Ran the old prime minister out. Had him booted out. Grabbed him by the arm. I can't remember his name now, and I'm not going to make an attempt to look it up. But, they just carried him out of the meeting. Old Xi looked at him and said, "No soup for you."
So, basically, he fired the prime minister like Julie Cromer Peoples fired Bert.
Yeah, right, like Bert. Like, that's exactly what happened. Julie Cromer Peoples is there with Xi Jinping, and it's like, you get out, you get out, you get out. So while that's going on, while Xi in China solidifies his position for an unprecedented third term, which many believe now will lead to a fourth, and he's just going to solidify, and he's going to be premier for life. So while he's doing all that, saber rattling towards Taiwan, while Putin has his drones destroying all the electrical generation facilities inside Ukraine. Because here's the thing, put them in the dark all winter long. That's what he's trying to do. Now, what should scare us in Ukraine, and I had really kind of a chance of a lifetime this week. I was in Northwest Arkansas, and hats off to Governor Asa Hutchinson. He had an ideas summit up there, where he brought in Condoleezza Rice and Steve Case and the governors of Arizona and Jimmy Haslam, or the former governor of Tennessee, and all these guys up there, and these people from the American Enterprise Institute, a very conservative think tank, and why, all just, it was a great, for a nerd like me, Todd, it was nerdapalooza. It was foreign policy and American monetary and domestic, all kind of wrapped up into 48 hours. And then I got to see a Major League Baseball game, an NFL game, and an NBA game all at almost at the same time the next day. Whew. So anyway, so I get a chance to meet Condoleezza Rice and talk. She's talking about how, hey, listen, Putin he's not a communist. He's a Russian nationalist. And he talks about Alexander the Great and he didn't talk about Lenin. He talks about old Russian leaders, and that's what he's. And so the play now, initially it was a lightning strike into Ukraine, take it over. Okay, that didn't work. They start to push back. So winter's coming, not to get too Game of Thrones. Winter's coming. And so what does Putin do? He's retrenched and said, okay, we're going to come back here and wait it out. We're going to be here for the long haul. And by the way, we're about to blow you up, blow up all your electricity and cut your gas off. So while Xi is solidifying all of his power in China, and while Putin is now retrenching and playing the long game in Ukraine, while these two global strongmen, and by the way, he's recruited the Iranians we now know are on the ground in Crimea helping to engage. So he's got the Ayatollah, we've got Xi Jinping, we've got Putin. Here is our guy, Joe Biden, this week on MSNBC. This is the President of the United States. This is our guy, okay? This is our coach. This is the Chad L. Morris of the global community. Here he is on MSNBC. This is a laydown, friendly network. This is basically, hey, say whatever you want to say, and we are going to laud you as a genius. Oh, this is the Democratic News Network. This is it. And listen to the little reporter, the little geeky reporter, who listened to him as he has to wake Joe Biden up when this critical question is asked.
I have not made that formal decision, but it's my intention.
To run
my
again.
My intention to run again. And we have time to make that decision.
Dr. Biden is for it. Mr. President. Oh.
Dr. Biden.
See? Did you hear that? Let me take it back. This is the president. So he's asked, will you run again in 4 years? And the reason he's asked that is because now, even Real Clear Politics throws Arizona in the mix. They've taken Pennsylvania off the board. I don't know who's going to win what in the Senate race. But if 75% of what RCP says, if they're just right three quarters, they don't have to be right 90%, then clearly Republicans win the Senate. There could be a 40-seat majority in the House. And you know there's going to be a move. We've talked about this. There's going to be a move to push him out. So at a moment in time when we need strength more than ever, listen to the reporter, because Biden kind of closes his eyes, and you see what it was Dr. Biden for it, meaning is your wife for that? Simple. That's a lay-down question. I love my wife, and she supports me. Now, she'd like me, you know, she wants me to slow down, but we can't. There's all sorts of answers, right? He checks out, and listen to the reporter, up, like he... like he saw the president's head falls forward. And I'm not talking Dealey Plaza, Dallas. Well, maybe.
Dr. Biden is for it. Mr. President. Oh.
Dr. Biden thinks that, my wife thinks that, that we're doing something very important.
I didn't edit that. That's not chopped up. That's not done for effect. That's the real thing in real time. And I mean, they're sending out, this is who we're up against. We're up against Nick Saban. We're up against the evil Urban Meyer in Russia. We're up against, we're up against Kirby, you know? And we're sending out this guy, when he's asked, listen to the whole thing in real time. This isn't chopped up. And listen to the reporter as, Mr. President? And he says that. And this is what happens around Biden. Everybody has a natural reaction when he kind of shuffles off the wrong way and they try to reach out for him. And then they all realize, uh-oh, we're on TV. Like, I can't. So they just sort of kind of recoil. And that's what happened here. And Dr. Biden? And Mr. President? Like, you see his head bob back up, and the reporter can't help it. And they can't edit it out, because it's live to tape. Here it is.
I have not made that formal decision, but it's my intention. My intention to run again. And we have time to make that decision.
Dr. Biden is for it. Mr. President.
Dr. Biden thinks that, my wife thinks that, that we're doing something very important.
And listen, he's not searching for words. He's staring down. He's, hey, Grandpa, we're going to go now.
He's waking up out of a mental fog.
This guy is this scary because he's not the president. It is the Manchurian candidate. He is surrounded by people who move his arms and legs for him. Literally move his arms and legs for him.
I was going to say, that's a good 2-3 second pause after the initial question about Dr. Biden is asked.
He checked out.
Yeah.
It's because he checked out.
There are power naps, and then there's that.
Oh, yeah. He got him a quick 5 or 6 seconds in. Yeah. Anyway.
Only thing he didn't do was snore himself awake.
He did kind of, the head fell forward, like, nope, yep. I mean, he's everybody's uncle that that kind of falls asleep after the Thanksgiving meal in the chair. So I do want to play this for you, though, because so this is on MSNBC. This is Mike Barnicle interviewing Stacey Abrams. And this is what I'm talking about. The candidates are in a position where the death spiral has started to happen for many of them. O'Rourke, her, others. And now, it's because all they had was the don't you hate Trump agenda. You should hate Trump. And people were worried about $5 a gallon gas and the cost of a dozen eggs. And my dollar doesn't buy anything anymore. And what in the world is happening in the world? And violent crime, real violent crime, has spiked up all over the United States. We're very well aware of it. So here's liberal columnist Mike Barnicle from Boston begging Stacey Abrams to get off of a failing message. And this is what she has to say.
I would assume, maybe incorrectly, But while abortion is an issue, it nowhere reaches the level of interest of voters in terms of the cost of gas, food, bread, milk, things like that. What can a governor, what could you do as governor to alleviate the concerns of Georgia voters about those livability, daily, hourly issues that they're confronted with?
But let's be clear. Having children is why you're worried about your price for gas. It's why you're concerned about how much food costs. For women, this is not a reductive issue. You can't divorce being forced to carry an unwanted pregnancy from the economic realities of having a child. And so these are, it's important for us to have both and conversations. We don't have the luxury of reducing it or separating them out, but we also have to talk about what a governor can do.
There you go. I'll let that stand on its own because I don't know. Barnacle is begging her. Hey, can you know, get off of it. Please. You know? And they're not. They're not because it's all they have. Got to hit a break. We'll get back and talk about the day in college football. Look ahead to the Auburn game. Needed the week off. Needed the week off. Dadgummit, that field goal in Dallas. You know, we make that. Thinking about the A&M game. Hey, stoic philosophy. You got to move forward. Can't consider the past. Live in the moment. Shane Smith and the Saints gets us out of here. Going to go through the day in college football, Major League Baseball, and the NFL on the other side of this.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Here, football is a religion, and Saturdays are sacred. Players live for one moment.
Fire away! Hit!
The seconds of a game-winning pass. Live on forever. Football is more than just a game. It's a way of life. The nation's best conference. An American tradition for over 75 years.
I want it to be gain, not loss. Good, not evil. Success, not failure. In order that I shall not forget the price I paid for it.
To the 30, Lindsey's got 35, 40. Lindsey's got 45, 50, 45, 40. Run, Lindsey, 25, 20, 50, 10, 5. Lindsey's got, Lindsey's got, Lindsey's got.
Here's to Bo Jackson. Jackson's on his way. Goodbye. 71 yards for Bo Jackson.
Jones looking. Jones now throwing to the end zone, and it is complete! A touchdown! Oh, my! I can't believe it! 31 yards to DeCorey Birmingham in the back of the end zone!
Billy Cannon watches it bounce. He takes it on his own 11. He comes back upfield to 15, stumbles momentarily, at the 20, running hard at the 25, gets away from one man for 30. Touchdown.
Everything is riding on this football game. So there's a special intensity, a special urgency. Here come the Volunteers. Wherever you listen throughout the world, it's football time in Tennessee.
trouble had turned into a struggle halfway across Alabama. Well, a hound broke down and left us all stranded in downtown Birmingham. Well, right away up on me, I threw a train ticket right across Mississippi clean. I was on that midnight flyer
Arkansas
out of Birmingham,
with a an expected win over BYE yesterday.
And they covered.
You know, Chad Morris only beat BYE once in two seasons.
That's right, because he was fired before the second one.
He was fired before the bye week. So a much-needed week off for the Razorbacks. And this is the same thing that happened last year. And you know, well, the issue becomes this for a program like Arkansas that's trying to ascend, that is aspiring, that's coming out of what was the single worst decade before Sam Pittman took over. Since I just went back to 1960, but it was the 10 worst years of Razorback football from a one-loss perspective since 1960, and I just stopped there. So when you're aspiring like that, guess what? You don't have you try to go recruit, and you don't have the quality of depth that your league opponents have. And when you play the nation's most difficult schedule, now for 3 years in a row, Cincinnati's going to finish in the top 20, with the exception of Missouri State, because they don't go to bowls, which they will be a playoff team in what the old 1AA is. So this is Liberty. Liberty put it on BYU yesterday.
They sure did.
So, okay, you get out of Provo and you think, great, here we go. But you got to go to Auburn. And listen, dumpster fire, yes, get it. But still.
That game against Auburn is always weird.
Oh, my gosh.
Always.
And there, it's always screwed up. There's something that's going to happen. And then you get Liberty at home. Then you get the joy of LSU, Ole Miss, and Missouri. So, you know, we needed that. The week off was necessary with Cincinnati because you couldn't. It's not as though we can play our, you know, guys can't take plays off. Our linebacking core, Sanders and Poole, stay on the field. And over, you know, you get to the midway part in the season, all those bumps and bruises and the shoulder that's been separated that you pop back into place that you don't talk about that nags and hurts, you need time. You need a little break. And because we don't have any cupcakes in terms of our non-conference, you know, then you realize it's been just the same way last year was. It's a grind. And I liken the Mississippi State game on the road in Starkville to the Auburn game at home last year. You look around and thought, well, we're just beat up and tired. And, you know, if not for the – well, anyway, there's no need to get into it because guess what? Auburn this Saturday on the Plains, going to go and just see how it goes. Should win the game. And then you come home, you play Liberty, should win the game. So has there been some time, too, by the way, to move when you're moving people around in a decimated secondary that wasn't good to begin with? After the first half of the Cincinnati game, that secondary went downhill. So now, you know, can you move some pieces around? Can you do the whole, I don't know. Our offensive line needs time. You just, when you're an aspiring program like Arkansas, and it's not really too deep. You're one deep. Your starters play more snaps than they should because they have to. So, you know, for that kind of program to get to be a consistent top 15 team in America because of the nature of playing in the toughest conference, you got to have two players. You got to have 22 on offense. And we're just not there yet. Having said all that, got the week off, now we go to Auburn. And it's interesting, too, because maybe some programs, Mississippi State, that were, quote, riding high, high school teams for non-conference games, okay. Well, Now reality sets in, because now you get to play some guys back to back to back to back, and that's the deal in the SEC, and no one is immune from it. Not Georgia, Georgia-Tennessee, that's looming. Georgia's got the cocktail party next Saturday, and then they got Tennessee. So you got a rivalry game in Jacksonville, and then you go to I think they go to Tennessee in Knoxville, or maybe
I believe that's it. Well, I tell you what, let me
anyway. Point being,
let me,
being
just,
is
let
that,
me effort it.
And if you're Alabama, you know, you play several in a row, so you get equipped, and no one is immune from it. That week in and week out, you've got to be prepared to play, and it takes a toll on you.
That game is in Athens.
In Athens, okay. So you start the. It's never been about who's in the top 25 before Halloween. Because you get Tulane and Coastal Carolina. They all pop up in there because they go undefeated. Now is the time when grown men start to show up. Now is the time when, you know, imposing your will from an offensive line standpoint starts to show up. I am worried. Tank Bigsby has been at Auburn since 1972. He blocked for Bo Jackson. I mean, he is a load, man.
Didn't block David Basil, though.
He didn't block. You're right. He couldn't scrape to that second level of line and get to the linebacker. 053, he moved laterally and shucked him. He met Bo in the hole there. Pow! I once had the opportunity to meet Bo Jackson. And I said, "You remember when David Basil tackled you?" And he said, "Who?" I'm kidding. Made that up. So, but Tank Bigsby, man, and being able to run the ball a balanced offense puts the Razorback defense in really, really, really bad. Let's be blunt. It's not a good. It's a decent run. It's an above average run defense with good linebacker play. Dare I say great linebacker play, especially from the Sanders kid, but the Poole kid too. And the tackles do a good job of keeping the offensive linemen from getting to the linebackers. But it's a bad secondary that can be picked apart. This is not, while the quarterback for Auburn has a strong arm, when one would consider him a thrower, not a passer. But he's a great runner. So any kind of balance means that we can't commit and we're not good enough on defense. And so,
Well, this is hopefully where the return of Miles Slusher and some of the defensive backfield will help maybe Sanders and Poole to be a little bit more run-centric and be able to neutralize
Auburn's
rushing. Maybe not.
That's why the bye week's so important. So, but boy, can you imagine getting to 6-3 the week before the LSU game? You roll out of Election Day, then you play. And speaking of LSU, Magnolia Bowl, what an impressive second half by that defense. That's a little scary. When you look at the pressure that they were able to get with four guys, they occasionally brought a linebacker, but just the athleticism. And listen, it's always the question with LSU. The athletes are there. It's just when the leaves start to fall to the ground, is their head in the game? We don't have him. And listen, Ole Miss is a rivalry game. We play in the intro, the Billy Cannon run on Halloween night, all of that. So Magnolia Bowl is a big rivalry between the two schools, and so they're dialed in for it. At home, in the, afternoon. Their ability to rush the passer with four guys and the occasional linebacker, gee Louise. But I also think there's some issues there with the Ole Miss offensive line that they've been able to cover up because the ball's been getting out quickly and good run. But hey, old Bulldogs learned a thing or two about the Crimson Tide.
Yeah.
And you could kind of see that coming, right? I mean, Nick wasn't going to be out of focus 2 weeks in a row.
No.
So
you talk about having you know, prime optimal effort maybe three times a year, I can guarantee you Alabama had it yesterday. Oh, yeah.
They were dialed in. They were dialed in. And Tennessee gets a cupcake. And look, LSU and Bama get a bye week this next week in advance of the LSU-Alabama game. So, and then, like I said, now, you know, now suddenly all the old non-conference, all the diabetes games, you know, all the sugar donuts, they're all gone. Now it's just vegetables. Now it's just vegetables. And it's, here we go. So, and listen, I appreciate Pittman's perspective on all this and everything else. I like, and I happen to buy in to the way he handles the bye week. We're not going to start installing for Auburn because kids lose focus if you've got 2 weeks. So we're going to stick to our normal schedule during game week, and we're going to dial back, let some bodies heal up, see if we can't get some guys better, and here we go. And I appreciate that. He has been around enough. He's coached in enough big name places. He's seen enough that he's got, the same way Belichick did, he's got a little, you know, three-ring binder of ideas. Hey, let's do it this way. Let's do this way. This is how we should prepare the first week of, you know, summer football. This is how we should do our OTA, you know, all of that. So, who would have thought yesterday, though, when this season started, that it would be a Donnybrook in Western South Carolina between Syracuse and Clemson.
That was a very entertaining game. I found myself watching most of that.
SMU misses what was a 70-yard field goal to beat Cincinnati, but Cincinnati holds on to win, and they're creeping up in the top 25.
Yep.
You can find out that's a pretty good team. Ohio State crushes Iowa, which
we knew was coming.
You knew it was, yeah.
I'm surprised Iowa scored 10 points.
The Pokes come back and beat Texas 41-34. And should you start to be worried with Steve Sarkisian in Texas, because they're falling into that, they don't have a defense.
No.
They don't have a defense. Oklahoma doesn't still. I mean, it's a little shocking. I mean, where are these top five, top seven recruiting classes that we read about all the time? Could it be that it really kind of, it matters, but it only matters at schools where they have good coaches, where they take them and coach? I mean, Nick gets 5 stars and he makes them better. But, heck, Auburn's had a top 10 recruiting class for 1 million years in a row. Texas, they're always in the top 10. Oregon comes back and brings UCLA down to earth. You'll see a reshuffling of the top 10 now.
I think so.
So, and Alabama just, I mean, they could have scored 100 and stopped, basically.
And what, they basically allowed Mississippi State to score on the last literal play of the game?
Yeah. And that was, and you know, it eats at Nick, but listen, they were in control, jumped out, and then just don't get anybody hurt. Let's move forward. TCU may be for real. I mean, it's hard to tell with who they've played so far, but that's a good, fundamentally sound Kansas State team.
Yep.
So, you know, not a bad – I mean, what outside of the Magnolia Bowl, again, that Syracuse-Clemson game just happened to be – I mean, hats off to Syracuse. I mean, they've got to be the surprise team of the year, right?
I can't think of anybody else that would be even close. But, yeah, I mean, Syracuse came out of nowhere.
Ugly game up in Columbia, but Missouri beats Vanderbilt 17-14. And how about it? Beamer ball over there in Columbia. And you just, you know, a 96-yard or 97-yard fumble return and a missed field goal with time running out. It eats at you because you see how bad A&M is. No, not how bad they are, how badly they've been performing. Because, and I don't want to hear this about Jimbo, okay? Oh, this recruiting class is going to take time. What happened to the other recruiting classes as we chronicled? Number 7, number 5, number 9. I mean, they're all on campus, right? I mean, they're not playing with 27 players, right?
Well, and I know it's been a popular thing, especially on Twitter, to track Jimbo's record.
With A&M
at the same time, Kevin Sumlin.
Yeah.
And to consider that Jimbo's two games worse, and they're paying him $9 million a year or $8 million, something like that.
They're paying him national championship money. Sorry, that's my bad. Oh, my gosh. It's been one of those days. Okay. We'll talk a little baseball. And look ahead to the day in the National Football League. As the Cowboys get Prescott back, and the Philadelphia game was a great example. Listen, manage this whole thing really well. And Cooper Rush, good, but when now you got to make a few plays, the system won't allow it, the picks and just put them in a bad spot there. Even then they came back. I thought might be a chance. They do that Dan Quinn. Here's the thing for the Cowboys. They got to win now because they're going to lose Dan Quinn. He's going to be a head coach somewhere. And that I think the defense then takes a step back next year because he's just that good a coach. Got to hit a break. Stay with us. It's a good day to be, a good day for me, a good day to see my favorite colors, troubles, my sisters and my take me to the other side, where the baby blues birds fly, I see them fly, and gray clouds, a white walls, a blue skies, we gon' fly, feel alright, help me feel alright.
More of the Sunday Buzz with Bill Vickery.
You are now free to turn up the volume as loud as you want.
Early in the morning when the sun does rise, laying in the bed with bloodshot eyes, late in the evening when the sun sinks low, that's about the time my rooster crows. I got women up and down this creek, keep me going and my engine clean. Run me ragged, but I don't fret, 'cause there ain't been one slow me down, none yet. Get me drinking that moonshine, get me higher than the grocery bill, take my troubles to the high wall, throw them in the river and get your fill.
Uh oh, look out now.
Hell. When the wind cuts cold, it's a mighty hard living. A damn good feeling to run these roads.
Little Tyler Childers there. Little music there you might get in a fight to. How big an old boy are you?
My boy Raymond.
Yeah. Wait till my brother gets here. Now, if you've ever heard that before, you've been in the VFW hall in Crawford County. Oh, yeah. It looks like I mentioned this in the program, and I don't know that I like this necessarily, but I wish the Padres could get there just because it would be fun to see some San Diego fans, because those guys, they are the Padre fans, shockingly, maybe the most obnoxious. Now, Yankee fans are Yankee fans, okay? But that's a known come on. You know a Yankee fan.
You know what you're getting there, absolutely.
You know you're getting the big guy. Come on there. You're getting that guy in the hoodie who's standing there with his buddy and a brew and, He's from, he's got to get back to Ronkonkoma, Long Island. But you wouldn't expect Padre fans, and of course they just gave it to the Dodgers. That's the other thing. But, you know, you go into downtown San Diego, Petco Park, which is beautiful right there in downtown. Been to a couple of games there. It's just gorgeous to watch a game. But, you know, you drive in from La Jolla, you know, the boat's moored at the yacht club. What do you have to be really upset over? Like, life is about as great as it possibly can be. Yet here they are just double French saluting Dodger fans, and there's fights in the parking lot, and giving it to Philly fans. But, you know, hats off, Philly, man. And the Astros have just spanked the Yankees.
Held them to three hits yesterday.
I mean, it is just – and not you sort of expected that from Verlander, the way he pitched. And I love Verlander because he's just a big old goofy-looking 40-year-old grown man who's married to Kate Upton.
Good gig if you can get it.
I mean, how in the world? Just – and he's out there, and he looks like he should be mowing his yard, you know, in a pair of cargo shorts that are a little too long that should be a little shorter, but they're not. And he's got some Crocs on. That's what Verlander looks like he should be doing.
With the brown crew socks?
Yeah. Hey, I got some IPAs in the fridge. You guys want to grab one? I'll be out in the back by the pool. Filter's down. I got to work on that for a second. You know, that's – but no. He's taking the bump in game one. Give me the ball. And he was a little shaky, but then boom, man. He was – a machine.
That's the thing on Verlander. If you're going to get him for some runs, you got to get him early.
You got to get
him. Because once he settles down, he is lights out.
If he's gone through the rotation once and it's a one-run game, forget about it. He locks in. And I follow his wife follow Kate Upton on Twitter. Of course I do. She's funny. I mean, I guess. I don't know. I can't get past the pictures. But they're up 3-0, and Aaron Judge is just – he's on the back of a milk carton.
The whole Yankees offense is on the back of a milk carton.
I mean, they're all done. And so – but hey, listen, it's a great year. You didn't make it to the World Series. You got to right there close. You played for the pennant, and then you got close. Did we talk about this? The ESPN did the 30 for 30 guys – they did a great documentary on the 2 years in a row that the Yankees and the Dodgers played in the World Series. It's where the blimp shot of a building burning in the Bronx, and I had inaccurately said for years that it was Cosell's, you know, uttered the famous line, and New York burns. He never actually said that. He talked all around it. You know, he goes, that's where the, you know, and that's where President Carter trod just a few days ago, in flames tonight. And, you know, Keith Jackson, and they're talking about trying to get to the stadium and all of that. But it's fantastic because they interview Reggie and, you know, the three swings of the bat for three home runs, which to me is amazing. I mean, the final game of that series when they win, his last three at-bats, he swung the bat one time each, all for a home run. Because I remember as a kid, the hype that was opening day the next year when he took, you know, because he had three swings, three home runs. Like it was cartoonish, you know. But just the run-up, I'd forgotten about Kansas City and poor Freddie Patak sitting in the dugout as they lost again. Chris Chambliss rounds the bases as a bunch of New Yorkers storm the field. George Brett hacked off. And then I'd forgotten about the Phillies lost 2 years in a row to the Dodgers. Ron Say and Garvey and Lasorda would have Don Rickles. Lasorda would have Don Rickles come in the dugout during games. And at one point, Ron Say's talking about, they look in Lasorda's office pregame. It's Sinatra, Don Rickles, and Lasorda just sitting around shooting the bull. You know, but just And then Billy fighting with Reggie and having it out. And then Steinbrenner firing Billy. And then, you know, Billy melting down. Billy got himself personally, he got thrown out of a game. It was a great story in the documentary. He comes running, he's hungover. You know, it's a day game. They go a night game, day game in, I don't know, wherever they were, Chicago. And the home plate ump says, Billy, I'm not going to run you. I know that's what you want. You want to go back in the showers. That's what you're out here trying to do. And finally, that's one of the famous scenes where Martin's kicking dirt all over home plate. He was trying to get thrown out of the game so he could go take a shower and lay down. You know, just burning a nail in the dugout, too. That's what you cut to Billy Martin, and he's got a heater cupped in his hand as he's puffing on a Camel no filter while Reggie's in the on deck circle. I mean, that was a different time, right?
Marlboro Reds came in
handy. Yeah, I mean, I gotta have me a smoke to straighten out here. What inning are we in? You know? My goodness gracious. But it's a great documentary if you get a chance to see it. It took me back in time watching those games with my dad, you know, laying on a bunch of shag carpet. But Houston's going to, I mean, this series is over 3-0. There's no way. Now, and tell me this, Todd. Pitching, how in the world, I mean, we're just 5 or 6 years removed from Major League Baseball trying to figure out how to make it easier for pitchers. Did we raise the pitching mat? Because they were worried that just the lack of starting pitching in the majors had gotten so bad. Now, these guys can't get a hit, and it's across the board. You know what I mean? That Musgrove kid from, I know he lost, but, I mean, he pitches. He deals some wicked.
He throws darts.
And so it has become a pitcher's league. Again, it's not Koufax and Gibson yet, but it sure seems like, and maybe this is the formula that Major League Baseball is saying. It's like, okay, we got to get some stars. We got to have some people we can promote. And it's just going to be pitching. We're just going to go with great starting pitchers, and that's who we're going to promote the heck out of. And it's the Verlanders and all of that.
Shohei Ohtani.
It's Ohtani, yeah, who can pitch and then go take
and then go 3 for 4 with a home run and a couple RBI.
Yeah, take a yard. So, but has there been a greater collapse from the regular season? I mean, the regular season, Aaron Judge had one of the single greatest seasons in the last 25 years in Major League Baseball. Contract year, everything.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact numbers, but I remember I'll give credit to Jeremy Muck at the Democrat Gazette because we were talking about this last night. But at one point in the season, the Yankees, I think through maybe mid-August, were like 61-40.
Yeah.
And they've gone like 38-42 since.
Yeah. Yeah. It did. They did sort of – they flatlined – at the end, same way the Mets did. But it looks like we're going to be in Houston and Philly, which means we're going to get those great shots of guys, baseball guys in the heavy coats and the dugout with the gloves on and everything and the 9 layers of turtlenecks. And then you go down to Houston and you're in a T-shirt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but in Philly, you got the guy with the jersey
pulled
over the hoodie
with
the gloves.
Yep.
Wearing the rally cap.
Couple of brews.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's that guy. Then you're going to get the gin and tonic fan on the third baseline wearing a golf shirt from the country club. That's going to be the Houston crowd. So, but again, great pitching. I mean, and you've got really good hitters. And in an odd way, while I despise Houston because of the cheating scandal and I can't get beyond it, I really want Dusty Baker to, you know, want him to win something. Want him to win one. The man invented the high five.
Yeah.
Think about that. Think of the cultural impact. And he has been in, Dusty Baker has been in the major leagues my entire life. He was up from AA ball and entered the majors when he was 18. So he's been... You kind of root for a guy like that, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, a baseball lifer like that you know, doesn't have that on his resume and got a chance to do it.
Managing a World Series winner, I think, gets Dusty Baker in the Hall of Fame.
No doubt.
I think it puts him in the Hall of Fame.
No doubt. He should be there regardless. Well, but yeah, that'll certainly, I mean, if there's anything lacking from his resume, that's it.
He invented the high five. To me, that says enough. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Sunday Buzz on 103.7 The Buzz.
It brings us together.
And now, here's Bill Vickery.
Less Than Zero soundtrack. Bengals had the Bengals, not the Bengals, but the Bengals had this out on an album and then we stuck it on that movie soundtrack. And that was, what a movie. Eesh. Have no idea. I mean, I watched it several times and didn't even realize Robert Downey Jr. was in it because Jamie Gertz was so beautiful in that movie. I mean, just stunningly gorgeous. Beautiful. Then you go see the video and Susanna Hoffs is in this. Yeesh. That was a, she was a, talk about a hottie. I mean, did the whole walk like an Egyptian with her, you know, did the thing with her eyes in the video. That was a, whew. Did it get hot in here?
Do I need to turn the AC down?
I was going to say, maybe crack a window in here or something. Between Jamie Gertz and Susanna, and look, most people listening to me have no idea what I'm talking about. None whatsoever. Just
back in mind.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Really, I am the Muppet on the porch. You know, hey, Lana Turner. Now that was a woman. She was quite the potato with those gams. Let me tell you, the Lennon sisters, boy, they could belt it out. They backed up Dino. Oh boy, let me tell you, Gable. Now that was an actor. Yeah, it's, what's the old formula? If you talk twice as much about the old days as opposed to the future, that makes you an old man or something like that. Well, okay, we won't do that. Let's talk about the here and now today in the National Football League.
Before we get started, as equally good or as good as you were 2 weeks ago,
yeah, it was
you
bad.
Were equally as bad last week.
Yeah, it was abysmal last week.
I think you were 3-for-12 yeah, last week.
Brutal. Brutal. And I mean, and it was, I was all, you know, it was just consistently bad across the board.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no,
there was no rhyme or reason to it. It was just consistently bad, like
just
you
horrible.
Said.
Okay. Well, we can dig in now. The Hotlanta Falcons take on the Bengals. Not Susanna Hoff and the Bengals. Joe Burrow at home. The Bengals are a 6.5-point favorite today. Todd?
I got to go with the Bengals at home.
Don't we both? We both like the Bengals. And Susanna Hoff and the Bengals.
Indeed.
Lions, boys, showdown. Cowboys 7-point favorite at home in Jerry World today. Prescott gets back.
I think Dak will knock the rust off just enough to get the Cowboys a win.
I think they win, they don't cover. It's a close game, and it's a one-possession game at the end, but the Cowboys win.
I can see that.
Colts, Titans in Nash, Vegas. Tennessee is a 2.5-point favorite.
Boy, that one's a tough one to call.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, both teams have
this
had
is an
success.
Old school,
in the,
yeah. This could be a 10-7 game.
This could be one of those
this
slobber knockers.
This could be a 10-7 game.
Give me the Titans just because they're at home.
Yeah, Treylon, I'll take Tennessee as well.
Treylon's on the IR with turf toe.
Oh, so that's why he was carted off. I knew that was a... Okay. Hey, listen, you can ask Deion Sanders about that. He doesn't have two toes anymore because of turf. Packers, Commanders in Washington, and dare I say it, a must-win game for Green Bay.
The way they looked, particularly last week against the Jets, I would dare say it is a must game. That's why I'm going with Green Bay.
We both like Green Bay today. Daniel Snyder hanging on to the team. How bizarre are all these rumors. And by the way, these rumors don't just get leaked. They're purposeful things done. Jerry might have been behind that because they're trying to get rid of Snyder. But, yeah, the Daniel Snyder era. And here's the thing. I want him to keep owning the team because I don't need Washington to be good. Buccaneers, Panthers in Charlotte. The Buccaneers are a 2-touchdown road favorite.
And for good reason, because Carolina, especially now without McCaffrey, is terrible.
I was a little shocked by that trade, but they're blowing the team up. Robbie Anderson gone.
Matt Rule's already been fired.
Coach gone. Everybody. They'll draft a quarterback, probably. So we both like Tampa.
Yep.
Giants, Jaguars in Jacksonville. No respect for the G-men as the 2-4 Jags, a 3-point favorite over the 5-1 Giants.
Give me the G-men all day long.
I think this is where the worm turns for the Giants and reality starts to set in. Give me the Jaguars at home, and I like them to even cover the number. Browns, Ravens, and the Art Modell Bowl in Baltimore. Lamar is a 6.5-point favorite over the Browns.
Yeah, give me Baltimore on that one.
Yeah, chalk me as well. I like Baltimore. The 4-2 Jets, the 2-4 Broncos. What's wrong with Russell Wilson?
Well, what's wrong with Russell Wilson is he's not playing today.
Good. That might be it. Then they might have a chance. Boy, talk about a star who fell quickly. I mean, his wife's got to make a hit record or something soon because he ain't doing the job. Except for, as you and I talked, what's become the new thing now is the pregame walk into the dressing room.
Yep.
That's the new sports red carpet. Everybody's got their, you know, Kyler Murray wore a Hillary Clinton pantsuit. And he's not recovered from that. But that's the new thing now is the walk. And what about this? Even at home games, guys look like they're getting on a flight. I can't remember who it was that had a garment bag and a roller bag and then you couldn't get on an airplane with the number of bags these guys carry into the locker room now.
He's paying extra money to check his bags
for the home games, yeah. So anyway, all the fashion, all the bags, all on display now between the bus and the dressing room. Jets, Broncos, who do you like today? The Jets 2.5-point favorite.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Yeah, I'll take the Jets too. Texans, Raiders in the desert out in Vegas. Afternoon kickoff, the Raiders a 7-point. This is the Raiders win, right?
Yes.
They get right today. Seahawks, Chargers in L.A. Chargers a 4.5-point. 4.5.
This one's another tough one to get a handle of, but this might be my upset here. Give me the Seahawks.
Give me the big kid and the Chargers. Chiefs, Niners. Up in Santa Clara, the Chiefs a 1.5-point favorite. I like Kansas City here.
Yeah, give me KC. They lost a tough one against Buffalo last week.
Yeah,
they know.
I like him to bounce back.
Yeah, San Francisco's got this one circled. They've got McCaffrey, but, I mean, who knows how much or how effective he'll be today. Yeah, give me Kansas City.
Steelers, Dolphins in Miami. Dolphins a 7.5-point favorite tonight on NBC, and Tua's going to play. I don't know.
Bienvenido a Miami.
You know, I don't know. I don't think Tua's the answer. I think the concussion stuff has been a career enhancer for Tua because it allowed him, he got a couple of games off, He had a couple of hot the comeback win where he threw 19 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Man, and then now, oh, you know, the man just played. He gutted it out. But at some point in an NFL season, you know, reality sets in. And I think in a weird way, on the road tonight, the Steelers, we're scratching the beginning of the surface of the Kenny Pickett era in Pittsburgh. I like a road upset with the Golden Black tonight.
Joe Franklin and Jeff Allen from The Point, thank you for that.
Well, really, yes. Yeah. So I've just doomed the Steelers to lose. So, Todd, excellent job producing the program. Going to need a win on the Plains next Saturday. I think it can get done. And the Razorbacks move to 5-3. And it's on to the push for November there.
It's on to Chicago unless we're there.
Again, Todd, great job producing the program today. Till next week, boys and girls, look out for number one. Don't step in number two.
She says she's carrying my child. Well, I drive down Sunset Boulevard, my head stop at fancy restaurants, and they'd finally let me in. I'd spend all my money on caviar and cocaine, and I would not remember how you broke.